Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am so glad that I've been here so often I don't need to be introduced. family, yeah. You know, as I was worshiping with you, I thought, you know, if I lived here in Portland, this would be the kind of church I'd want to come worship at. I appreciate. Beg your pardon? Home church. All right. Well, I send my tithes to the Albany church and never show up, so they really like me. So, and the oddest thing, I don't know if it's odd, but I think it's a compliment on my wife. She is the chairman of the board this year. Yeah, first time that a woman has been the chairman of the board in Albany in as long as we've done research. You know, so that's 110 years. So she's cutting the new ground. So anyway, and she is, this morning, she also sings in a choir. And this is the choir's last Sunday to perform for this year. And so her director said, are you going to be here? And she said, yes. And so that's why she's not with me this morning. But greetings on behalf of the 51 congregations, or the other 50 in the Association of the Churches of God here in Oregon and Southwest Washington. And Pastor Val, I want to tell you the new measurement of the health of a church is not how many people you have in, but how many people you send out. And so I also think about Jeremiah and Carrie Ford, you know. Yeah, Jacob Parada. Yeah, there's a lot of them that this church has nurtured over the years. And so I congratulate you, and I'll be praying for you. And that God will lead you and guide you. I remember the first time I went to saw a pulpit committee. Scared me to death.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got it. Every time I've gone to see a pulpit committee, that scared me to death. Anyway, today I want to talk to you a little bit. My message today is not so much inspirational, but informational. And I want to share with you a couple months ago, first year actually, the church in Powers, Oregon, they have a bivocational pastor. In fact, 45% of our senior pastors are bivocational. And I've just done a recent study on it just to see how many. 80% of our senior pastors' spouses work outside the home. 80%. Pastor John asked me to come and preach a sermon, make it informational and inspirational, and kind of answer the question, why should we support the association? Because every board that I've ever been around have asked that question, why should we send money to the association? What do they do with those dollars? Well, we don't buy Hawaiian shirts. And I have to tell you how that started, the whole Hawaiian shirt thing started, is Val is always wearing Hawaiian shirts, though his looks blurry today. I'm not quite sure. I can't look at his shirt too much. He's always in constant motion. And I said, can I wear one? Because I'm going to wear Hawaiian shirts in Albany the next 4 weeks because I'm preaching there because Pastor Steve's on sabbatical. So I appreciate you making me feel warm and welcome here today. But I want to tell you a little bit about our national movement. I want to kind of let you know that a lot of people think the Church of God is just a small little group of folks off in the corner someplace. And the General Assembly, which is the largest voting portion that we have as a movement. So we call ourselves a movement, not a denomination. It's kind of semantical, but it's important to us, old timers in the Church of God. We're a movement. And what that means is we believe that God's Holy Spirit still moves in our church. And we believe that when the Lord leads us, we'll follow. You know, isn't that just, I think that's the way churches should be. And we don't have a written creed. We say the Bible is our creed, is the rule of our faith. We love everybody. If you're a born again believer, you're part of the Church of God. So really, we're the largest church in the world. But as mankind adds it up, there's about 300 who have registered with the national government, and we're number 26. I was surprised, but pleased. So I want to give you kind of a bird's eye view, kind of a 30,000 foot, kind of we'll see if this is going to work now. Please stand by. We're having technical difficulties. It worked earlier. And honest, it did. And I promised I wouldn't make the worship service go faster by forwarding it. Oh, there we go. I went backwards. I went forward. There. The kind of the out of space 30,000 foot view of the Church of God and who we are. In the United States and Canada, we have almost 2,200 churches in our movement. In the U.S. and Canada. And out of those 2,800, we have about 2,200. We have about 250,000 people attending. And so that's, you know, what an average of 100 per congregation is pretty typical the size. And we do publish what we call the Church of God Yearbook, and that yearbook is where these stats come from. Now, also in the Church of God, we have the missions for over 100 years. Last year, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of our mission work. We have missions in 30 countries. We have 51 full-time missionaries, and we have 24 SAM missionaries. Now, a SAM missionary is a special assignment. It could be a missionary who is taking over while somebody's on furlough. But it's a great thing. A lot of newly retired folks like to do this. And they'll take their skills and they will go and kind of be the sub until the missionary comes back. You can go on to the Church of God website, chog.org, and I'll talk about that a little bit today, and go to missions and see the full gamut of all of our missionaries, because they're always changing. The grand total of churches around the world is about 7,400 and 86 different countries, and we have about 1.1 million people attending the Church of God outside the continental United States and Canada. So the church outside the U.S. is far greater, so that says something about our missionary work. Now, not only do we have missionary work, but we truly believe in higher education. We have what we call endorse agencies, and the number of them are the different colleges that when you send money back to World Ministry Advance, back to Anderson, when you send money back there, part of those dollars go to help these particular. They are the Anderson University. There is Anderson Theological School. That's our seminary, both in Anderson, Indiana, and on the same campus. And Oklahoma City, we have a Mid-America Christian University. And at Portland, we have our own Warren Pacific College. Yay! We have in Lake Wales, Florida, a college called Warner University. And those are, and we have other, there's another college in Canada that we have a relationship with. Alberta, what is it? Gardner Bible College. We have a relationship with them. We don't send them World Service dollars, but they are part of our family as well. And then we also have for pastors, or anybody who works for 20 hours a week or more for a Church of God organization, we have a board of pensions. And so I really hope that you help your pastor save money for retirement so he doesn't have to live with, you don't have kids, right? So who are you going to live with? So, what? Got to live with her? Well, he's going to do that, but, what? Okay, all right, you'll take care of him. Okay, all right. Mark this date down, okay. The really cool part about the Board of Pensions, it's a 403b plan, which means nothing except that money can go in tax-deferred, money can grow tax-deferred, and when it comes out, we can call it housing, even as a retired pastor, and then it's tax-exempt. It's hard to beat. If you're into pensions, which all of you should be so you don't have to live with your kids, my children are really pushing for my pension savings. We have some affiliated organizations as well. Yes. We do have a rough tie with Azusa. The president used to be a Church of God pastor. He is no longer, but we have kind of a how that came about is there was Arlington College in Riverside, California, where I used to pastor, and they merged with the college in Long Beach, and they merged with Azusa College in Azusa, California, a number of years ago. Now it's Azusa University, and it's kind of outgrown that relationship, but they still have a Church of God room, and they still have Church of God classes, and as a part of that relationship of merging. So, kinda. We have Children of Promise. That's where you, for $30 a month, or I don't know how much it is, you can sponsor a kid in a different country. My daughter was in Myanmar a couple summers ago. And that's one of our places. We have lots of Children of Promise kids, and they feed them, and they house them, and they educate them, and they take care of them. There are many other organizations in the world like that, but this is our own Church of God one. And then we also have Christian Women Connection. This is the new name for the WCG, and they are a part of the Church of God. And I really like where they're going with the new idea of women in ministry, women's ministry. We also have some partners in ministry that we have. Partnership means that we actively engage and support and give leadership to and help back and forth all the time. And that is in the area of the American Indian Council. We have a Hispanic Concilio and the National Association, which is our African-American family, which are part of the Church of God. Ron Duncan, our general director, has asked us to have all of our churches to have five major values ingrained someplace within the life of the church. And one of them is Ignite, and that is the Great Commission, evangelism. The other one is Permeate, which is the Great Commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The third one is free, debt-free living. I hope that this church teaches some time of the year, some course that help people get out of debt. We recommend either the Dave Ramsey course or the Ron Blue course, but there's all sorts of them all over the place, and they all follow the basic same format of debt-free living. And we highly recommend that, because what we hope will take place is that every person in the pew will be debt-free, every church will be debt-free, every district will be debt-free, every college will be debt-free, all the leadership will come to that point, because interest is actually killing America. And if you know, we're just recently come through a horrible recession. We're not out of it yet, but part of that is because the inappropriate use of credit. And so I hope this church sometime down the line will do that. Also, cultivate. Cultivate is developing your spiritual gifts and understanding what they are and be able to use them, to identify to use them. If you take your spiritual gift and you take your passion, you put them together, that's fun ministry. That is a hoot when you can do those two things and make those two things come about. So I hope you, all of you, if you're a believer, God has given you a very special ability for the kingdom. You have a spiritual gift or gifts. Most of us have a gift mix that we like, that God has given to us that we can use for the kingdom. And the last one is refresh. And that is kind of, I'm going to harp on this a little bit today, because this is really where we need to be. This is reconnecting with one another in unity and fellowship. You can find all of this information at our Church of God website. And what I've created for you today is this contact information card. And this has our mission and vision statement, and this also has how to get a hold of all the different websites you'll see on here. And the power of this is, if you want to know what's going on with the Church of God on a national basis, you want to figure out how we're helping the people in Haiti, how we're helping the people in Chile. We had $750,000 given for the people in Haiti and the different houses that they're building down there. That's how we have elected to spend those dollars. We have 26 mission trips are going to take place down there. You don't have to be a part of a big group. You just log on and find that spot, find where you log, and you yourself can hop on a plane and fly and join another group. And we're sending, and they'll build houses. They're kind of a prefab house that they're going to put together. It's a cool thing. I'm pretty jazzed about how we can all plug into that. But you can find that on our national website. And so we have what we call the North American Convention, which we have some great speakers and a lot of wonderful things. It's Anderson Camp Meeting, for those who have been around for 100 years, right? You can watch that live online. And they have last year's, Milton Graham's sermon last year on missions, was just fabulous. He is a product of a missionary who loved him. And his parents said, that mission station will do no good for you. And he tells a story when he walked into the White House and had dinner with the president. He remembered his parents saying, that mission station will do no good for you. But now he's pastoring one of our largest African-American churches. And he had dinner with the president of the United States because of who he is. Great message. You got to listen to it. It's still online. You can go online and listen. A lot of things are online that you can be a part of. All right. Let me bring you down a little bit, down to our block. This is our website. Or not our website, but this is our logo that we have. And our theme, here's the inspirational part. Next two slides talk about inspiration. Pastor Sam had help created. And it talks of, and it's the cross in the center with leaves going around. Because one branch cannot live alone. We can't bear fruit by ourselves. We can't bear a fruit by ourselves as individuals. That's why God created this whole concept of the church. And you ever notice how often we refer to it in terms of relationships? It is the body of Christ. And even in the Bible, it talks about, you know, if you're all a foot, what good are you? Or you're all an ear, what good are you? And so we really another. But yet we know that and we teach that and we preach that, but we live in our own isolated silos. You ever scratch your head and go, boy, that doesn't make sense. That's the same way with churches. We need this larger association that we're part of. We need the national movement. Whether we can, we like to see immediate bang for our buck all the time. And kind of what I'm telling you here today is your bang, you have sent money to missions for years, and I want you to know that there's 1.1 million people who Jesus, because of those dollars you helped send. Because you helped send out those 51 missionaries that are out there, those families. It's powerful what we do. And I'm going to reveal to you, kind of peel off the top for our association and let you see what we are doing as an association. So when you send dollars to the association, you go, what are they doing with their money? What we're doing is some pretty significant stuff. And ministry is taking place. Lives are being changed because of what we're doing. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We truly need to be together. Now this slide is to tell you about who I am. I'm Dave Shrout. I have my BA and master's from Warner Pacific College. I have gone back to school, and I've taken all the coaching classes I need to be nationally certified. I just need a coach to mentor me and watch over me and sign me off that I know what I'm doing. And then I can be a part of the National Federation of Coaches for Christian Life Coach. And so a lot of what I do, when you call me with a problem, I'll coach you. I don't answer your problems anymore because you got the answers. I don't, because you know it more realistic than I. Been married to the same woman. This August will be 35 years. And we have three children and five grandchildren. And everybody loves Jesus in our family, which I think is the best thing that I've ever done in my life. Well, the best thing is to know Jesus. Second best is to marry Connie and let her raise our kids. She did a great job. And when I took this position a little over 9 years ago, most people don't want my job. I really didn't want my job. But I felt God called me to this job because of my gifts and skills and talents and where He has led me in my life. And I'm here serving the bigger church because God called me to do that. I miss the pastorate. I really do. I was envious. Your pastor over here had two kids on his lap bouncing up and down and wrestling. I miss that. I miss the little kids coming up and grabbing my leg and hugging me. And I miss all of that. I miss funerals. I really do. I always felt helpless, but most helpful. I miss that stuff. And I miss weddings. and all the potlucks. And I'm so sad. I worked really hard to come to your Spamorama, but I couldn't do it. I really wanted to come. Lisa, let me know. And my calendar just didn't work out. Let me know when the next one is. But I asked God for a scripture. And this is a scripture he gave me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And if you peel the top off the Hebrew, the word might is what I can do by myself. And I can do a lot by myself. But he says, that's not how you're going to do this job. And that's not how the church works. And that's not how our lives works. And so I said, I'm going to power means what we do collectively together. Even that will fall short of what the kingdom has in store for us. But it's by his spirit that we will perform ministry and help people. It's by his spirit that we will introduce them to someone who can change their lives. We don't change their lives. It's what God does. So that's the inspirational part of the message today. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. That's how we live. I have two people on staff with me that are just wonderful, dear friends and great ministers. First one is Chuck Ellis there. Chuck is a retired pastor. I brought him on part-time 8 years ago. Been a delightful friend. I know he's been here. I know you know him. He kind of does what I can't do. My calendar just doesn't make it. I say, Chuck, can you do this? The other person we have here is Bruce Stephenson. He's a Church of God pastor. He has just finished all of his classwork for his doctoral and spiritual formation. He is my spiritual director. When I need help with my spiritual life, I say, Bruce, kind of help me think things through. He's available to all of our pastors to do that. Doesn't tell you what to do, but kind of coaches you through that. He's also the interim pastor at Holiday Park. He also teaches for Warren Pacific College in the adult degree program. And so he's a very busy man, but he's highly, highly qualified. He has his master's in spiritual formation, from Northwest College in Napa, Nazarene College. Very, very insightful. He brings to our team a whole new way of thinking, which we really, really need. And it's just a delight to have him on staff with us. He's married. He has three children. They're all good kids. They're all good kids. This is our staff that we have here. And I'll just kind of quickly introduce them to you. This is Julie Gregory and her husband Reg. And this is Ruth. Ruth, last day in the office was Friday. She is retiring. We're going to vacation her out to the end of this fiscal year. We have elected not to hire another person to replace her because we're under a financial crunch just like everybody else is. And so Sally Ranton, who is over here, she is going to kind of take Ruth's place in her job. We're just not having anybody do it for a while and see how that works. And then we have, this is Pat Ellis, Chuck's wife, Debbie Stephenson, Chuck's wife, and then this is my lovely bride. Oh, this is Sally Ranton and Durwood, her husband, and then my wife and myself. This is at our Christmas party that we had last year. And so that's our staff. I'm the only one who works full-time in the office. Everybody else is part-time. Who is not listed here is Wayne and Tana Miller. Wayne is full-time for us. There are facility managers for Camp White Branch, and we just had a groundbreaking service Friday for our new building that we're going to build. And yes. If you've been to Camp White Branch before, and you go out to where the tent was, remember in your minds, and there is that little valley beyond where the tent was. Where the tent was is half of the width of the building that's going to be. It's going to go into the mountain, and it's going to take two cabins out. It's going to be 145 feet wide, our long, and 100 feet wide. It's going to be a great building. They're going to take out 50 trees, and it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing what's going to happen. Anyway, we were just there. This is what our office looks like. You're welcome to come by our office all the time, anytime you want. We always have good coffee on. I'm a fanatic for good coffee. This is our office. It's in Salem. Where it is in Salem, if you were to go to the 45th parallel, you see on the freeway, and just go due east to Portland Road, that's where we are. That 45th parallel sign is in our front yard. I need to retake this picture with that sign so people can recognize it. So that's where we are on Pacific. This is where all of our churches are. It's pretty hard to see them on this wall here with this. We have a church down in Klamath Falls. We have a church over here in LeGrand and Pendleton and Prineville and Redmond and down here. This is Powers. It's not at the end of the road, but you can definitely see the end of the road from Powers. And it turns into logging roads after that. That's a true story. Our building there is the nicest building in town. It's pretty cool. And then we don't have any churches along here, and I really wish we could plant some in that area. Most of our churches are in the greater, we have Portland area. That's where we are here, up in St. Helens, and this is where Joel is in Gales Creek. And so 51 different congregations. So Pastor Val, when you go visit your folks, you have to drive across Portland. When I visit my folks, I have to drive across Oregon. And so it's just a little different in size. This is our mission statement. Our mission, the association, why we exist is to help you do your ministry. And we are always anxious to hear from you on how we can come alongside and help. And our mission, how we are going to do that, is we coordinate ministries, provide guidance, give encouragement, supply information, offer training to help you do your ministry here on the corner of Division and 40th. That's our job, to help you do that. And anytime you need any kind of training, educational piece or whatever, you need help, give us a call. If we can't provide it, we'll find somebody who can. And that's what we're about. We have some main events that I'd love to have an event coordinator to manage all of these. We have about 13 of them that we do in our district that are district-wide and huge events, and I'll just kind of quickly fly right through them. Our how-to convention, winter youth convention, ministers retreat, spring celebration, Oregon State camp meeting, a men's advance. We have the Christian Women's Connections activities. They have two of them, two district-wide ones, spring's convention and an October retreat. We have a general council retreat in which we go to the coast. We have a retired ministers and missionaries dinner that we honor them, and we specially look for the surviving spouse. My mom and dad were pastors. My mom's recognition was through Dad. Dad died 22 years before she did, and after Dad died, her pastor's wife role stopped, and nobody said thank you ever again. And so we look for those women because we want to honor them, because they have done a tremendous role in helping their husbands, as well as our current pastor's wives do. But we really look for them. We don't have a minister we do have retired ministers who've lost their wives, and we look for them as well. This next slide, I show it to you because it's a breakdown of our budget, which we just passed. And you saw all those staff people that we have. Most of them do a whole lot of volunteer work. We only use 40% of our income, which is this piece here. It is the largest piece, but we only use 40% of it for staffing of people. The Albany Public School System, if you looked at Portland Public and different places like that, you will find that they will use probably up to 80% of their income for staff salaries and benefits. So we only use 40%. So I think we're doing pretty good. I think if church uses even 50 to 60% of their income for staff salaries, they're right on. You have to leave money for ministries for things to do. Well, let me kind of talk to you about our revenue streams, how money comes into us. We have three basic ways that money comes into our association. We have registration fees. We had a spring celebration last weekend, and with that celebration, we charged what we were charged for the room and the two meals, plus a little bit. And that little bit paid for our guest speaker, and that little bit paid for our staff to stay there, et cetera, et cetera. And so and every time we do have camp, we have those camp fees plus a little bit. We have all those things help us with our registration fees. And so that is one source of revenue income. We don't make a whole lot of money at everything. On last year's spring celebration, we made $40. So if we break even, we're doing really good. And then that's what we shoot for. We also have interest income. We were given a large piece of property, which we sold for about $1 million. We had it on deposit back at Anderson. And that group bellied up, and we lost $400,000 in that process. And so interest rate was at 7%. Interest rate is at 1% now for an average CD. So our average income went from $70,000 down to $16,000. And that's on a yearly basis. And so that really, really hurts where we are. But we do have interest income that we have. We have miscellaneous donations. The WCG gives us gifts, and individuals will give us gifts. And they, from time to time, they will do that for a whole variety of the majority of our budget comes from church donations. We have through the general budget and to our commission offering. But the real thing I wanted to emphasize is that there's no other form of revenue given to us. Anderson, Church of God Ministries, does not send us a monthly check. So we survive on our own. We really survive on your gifts. And I know this church gives, and I appreciate very much what you give to us, because it really is crucial for us. The gifts that we receive from every church. Well, I told you about the groundbreaking service, and how that's coming together. Just an amazing deal. It's a $700,000 building. We had a campaign with our people, and they've raised about $200,000 on that. And we have one gift, a piece of property for $150,000, and another gift gave $10,000. Another church gave $50,000, and so. The Murdoch Trust Foundation is giving us $150,000, and so that's going to be paid for with a lot of pots. We're not going to go into debt to make this happen, but we're just plugging away at it. It will be a story to be told when we're done. But we have camps all year long for five of them for our kids, and I hope that you're a part of that. You send your kids. If you don't have any children in your home, adopt a child. And if you need a child to be adopted, call me, send me the money. I'll find a kid for you to send, and we'll get that kid there. We have Oregon State Camp Meeting, which is going to be right at Warner Pacific College. It's right down the road. All of our speakers and conferences, camping will be at the Seventh-day Adventist Campground in Gladstone. And you see that we have a question mark for guest speaker, because Friday, I left the office early before I got the memo, that we do have a camp meeting speaker now. Pastor Don Doe of our Vancouver church was going to be our speaker. He had back surgery. He spoke last Sunday from a wheelchair. He talked about hope, because he was very hopeless for a while. He was paralyzed from the waist down for a while. He is beginning to be able to walk. He walks with a walker. He's a man a few years younger than me. He's bigger than me. This is an amazing story of healing that God is doing in his life. And we have rescheduled him for 2 years down the road. But Pastor Ken Long, who was our speaker for our spring celebration, will be our guest speaker this year. We just got that word, right, Pastor Frank? He's on our camp meeting program committee. So if you want any special things done, see him, all right? Reverend Mick Gilliam is be our guest, our worship leader. We're going to ask him to lead worship in the AM services as well as the evening services. He's going to do some worship conferences. So Pastor Frank is going to lead us in some what we call power conferences at 4:30 and to 5, and it's designed for you to get off work a few minutes early, come to the conference, and then eat dinner there, and then stay for the evening service. And so it's going to be a great experience. Christian Education does a marvelous job with a how-to convention and with our Oregon State Camp Meeting. They just do a fabulous job. Church Extension, they're responsible for church planting. We have a new ministry called Fresh Eyes. They will come into your church, and they will, at your invitation, they will help you re-examine any part of your ministry, from your finances to your buildings and grounds. I can come into this church and I can immediately see everything that needs to be fixed. Because I have fresh eyes. I've come here long enough that I don't anymore, probably. But they will come in and they will say, if you just tweak this, change this, you know, modernize this, they will help you do that. And then they'll partner with you. We have some dollars that we'll partner. So we'll pay part of the price for that. So, Pastor, if you want to invite them in, talk to Chuck Ellis, and he will send you some paperwork, and you can move on down the line. And that's what we're using our Christ Commission offering for, to help churches move forward to their next level, to their next step. Okay? Credentials and advisory board. There is 7 people who watch over my lifestyle and who I am. If I misbehave in any way, I am called before them, the credential board, and I have to give an account of my life. Pastor Val is the same way. And anybody who is, John, you're commissioned, right? John is the same way. Anybody who is, Frank is the same way, who is commissioned, licensed, or ordained in the Church of God. We have currently 26 people in process. This is a 3 or plus year experience for most. When you become ordained in our district, which is some of the toughest, you have really accomplished something pretty significant. This is a flow chart, and I know you can't read a word on it, but this is what you have to do to become ordained in the Church of God. This is generally speaking for the whole movement, but this is really kind of how we operate here. I show that to you to say that we watch over our brothers and sisters very carefully. We want to encourage them. If a minister falls, our first job is to restore them. If they can't be restored, we pull their credentials away and take them out of place of influence so they can't harm any people. We're very diligent about that. Men of the Church of God, let's see. Where's my good brother? Over here. That commission, that planning committee for the men of the Church of God, and they're having a camp meeting. Is that the right date, by the way? Okay, all right. I was in question. I encourage you to be a part of that experience this year up at Camp White Branch. Minister of Fellowship, we have a retreat. I hope you send your pastor and his wife to that, and I know they have to take off time from work. I understand all that. I'm trying to convince our ministers' fellowship committee they need to rethink how they do that, because 45% of them and their spouses work, and 45% have other jobs. We got to do something different. You see what they do. The big thing here is SHAPE that they're part of, sustaining health and pastoral excellence, helping good pastors become stronger. It's a 3-year commitment. I've been through this program. I helped launch it here in the Northwest. It's a great experience. Our ministers' wives get together. They have speakers at the spring celebration. They had some speakers and time of prayer together at a camp meeting. They'll do that. They have a pie social for all of us ministers on Thursday night. Thank you, ladies. Bless you for that. And they give a gift of flowers to the newly spouse, ordained spouse. It's kind of cool what they do. Our mission commission. They have speakers for the how-to convention, Oregon State Camp Meeting, and they have a newsletter. If you want to see what's going on mission-wise in our district, get this card. I believe that information's on there. You can log on, and they'll send a PDF to you on a monthly basis. Publications, we have a contact that we send out to over 45 different homes, and we're beginning the process of turning this into electronic, an e-contact, of lack of a better term. So that's we're working on that. I have a question. How many of you have a Facebook account? How many of you are my friends on Facebook? If you're not, log on, go Dave Shrout, ask me to be a friend, I'll be your friend. I want to get 1,000. I'm shooting for 1,000. I'm halfway there. Come on. Log on. Yeah. Log on. Now, don't send me Farmville stuff. I will not play that. I will ignore you on that crud, so, or any of those games. We publish our contact 6 times a year. It's not every other month, but we do it as best suited to our ministry purposes, like we double up in the summer for a camp meeting. Social concerns, they have youth camp scholarships. We support prison ministry. We have a national radio ministry, Christians Broadcasting Hope, we send dollars to. Matching grants for ministry, and then they also have classes at camp meeting. This year, they're going to have a foundation drive. They want your underwear. Oh, no, no. They want new underwear. What we're going to do is we want underwear for people of all ages, T-shirts, underwear, undergarments, and we're going to collect them and then give them back out to needy people all across our state. So they're having a foundation drive, they call it, and they want your underwear. Warner Pacific College. Dr. Cook is our president, and you know it's just right down the street, 28 blocks away from here. The adult degree program is just, they have 6 satellite campuses for that. It's exploding. The traditional program is exploding. They have over 1,300 students this last fall. They had 400 when I was there, you know, but I came over in the wagon train, so, you know. It's marked 12th in the Western Baccalaureate Colleges. That's 12th in the West Coast by U.S. World. It's Dr. Cook is doing an outstanding job. Let me tell you one thing that they're doing. They're hooked up with a group called Act 6. They're taking first generation college kids. That meant their parents and grandparents did not go to school at all. And it's a high school program. They have applied. They're selected. There's 12 of them. It's connection with George Fox is doing 6 of them. We're doing 6 of them. These kids will live on campus. These are kids who would never have an opportunity to go to college at all. Never, ever. Parents never go. Parents don't care. They're pulling them out of poverty, and what they're doing is educating them and training them. They're breaking the poverty cycle. And I am just so delighted what they're doing, and they want to grow this experience. And so for the first 2 years, they will actually go to junior college but live on the campus and experience campus life and experience what college life is like. And then the last 2 years, they'll do their studies. But they're already meeting now on the college campus every Monday night to bring their skills up. So they're at the college level and they're ready. Great group of guys who are leading this Act 6, their offices. The college gave them office space. It's just a powerful program they're doing. Your dollars help that. Your dollars help that. You see, there are so many things that we're doing, and I haven't even begun to tell you all the things. I'd have to be here till 2 o'clock to list them all. Christian Women's Connections, they have the old gift shop that they have, and the tea, and their annual retreat, national convention they go to, youth ministry. They're going to be at Wild Horse again this year, and so I'm very excited what they're doing. And so that's the last weekend in January, youth camp, youth ministers retreat. I just got the email from Lisa as their secretary, and thank you for doing that or it'd fall apart. I mean it. Bless you for doing that. We need every one of our churches. We need all 6,300 people. That's an average who attend our church on any given Sunday in our district. We need all of us. We need your support, your prayers. In order to do this, it's going to take all of us and the Spirit of God to do what He has called us to do. Well, how can you help share the load? I ask that you pray for Ron Duncan, our national director. I ask that you pray for David Shrout and Chuck Ellis and Bruce Stephenson. You really do mention us by name before the Lord, because we truly need your prayers on a constant basis. On a national level, it is kind of the goal or the assumption or the prayer that all of our churches would give 5% of their tithes and offerings to the local district and 5% to the national headquarters. And that's kind of, we don't send out a bill. Some denominations will tell you what to send. We don't do that. This is just a suggestion. And some people have never heard this. And so that's why I tucked it in here, that as you put your budget together, that's a prayer. Now, I know the Albany Church where I pastored, they sent some to Anderson, sent some to the district, and to Warner Pacific College, all within that 10%. And then their missions budget was on top of that. And so they really give more than 10% of their income away. So however you want to cut up that pie, but this is kind of the national model that we lift up. Final words, in closing. Ministry is all about relationships. Ministry is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. It's all about, I'm pointing to our pastors, it's all about relationships. We can't do it alone. We're the body of Christ. We're His hands, His feet. And we need not only Him, but we need each other. We can't live on our own silos. We have to be together as a church and as a district and as a movement. Together. And we live and work together. We give everything we can by our power. We give everything we can by our might together. But it's always by the Spirit of God that takes us on and helps us do what we're called to do. And if you ever do ministry outside of His Spirit, it's going to be ugly. It is. You got to stay in His Spirit to make this happen. And we're in this not for what we get out of it. We're in this for what we can give away. The sign of a healthy church is who you send out, not who you keep. And in our lives, we are going to be remembered for what we give away, not what we keep. Give your life away for Christ to other people. Pull them out of the pain of sin and set them on a course that leads them to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this church and these people who care so very much for You. I thank You for them that they will continue to do the ministry You've called them to do to this community. And I'm blessed that they have made a decision to stay in the city and to stay here and to touch the lives of this community with Your love, that they will pour open themselves and give their lives away so that people will know Your love, so that they will be released from sin and that they will live a life that You meant for them to live. Father, I pray You'll bless this congregation, bless their pastors, and may we enter into a time of true relationship of Your kingdom. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.